This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, Clarets. We're here to look back at last weekend's game at the London Stadium as the Clarets managed a point that many didn't think that we'd get away at West Ham, but we're still left feeling deflated after throwing away a 2-goal lead. We also look ahead to this Saturday's encounter with Brentford at Turf Moor. This is the No Nay Never podcast. As you've probably realised already, it's Adam guest hosting tonight as Natalie is a busy bee away with work. Bit of a Brentford reference there. But don't worry too much, listeners, as completing the No Nay Never preview show reserve team lineup is analysis team stalwart Tom Whittaker. Welcome, Tom. I've heard your nationwide tour of football went international a few weeks ago, didn't it?
Good evening, yes. I was very sad to miss the Crystal Palace game. I went to Italy for a few games that weekend. It was planned before the season, I have to say, but it did feel like a bit of a relief, actually, after how that game went.
Yeah, definitely. There wasn't much to shout about there. And yeah, the games in Como and Milan certainly looked a lot better on the eye than what we had to watch. So, on to last week. Just wanted to start with a couple of bits outside of the match. Company's comments on Trafford before the game and being proved right eventually. Whether it was Trafford or the wider team and the way this year's gone. And then a bit of a loving for Mike Trezor on social media after the Believe in Me article this week. Just thoughts on both of those?
Yeah, I think I do know where he's coming from with Trafford, because if you look at it from an outside perspective, the career that he's had so far, he's a young lad. He had a great season with Bolton last year. I know that was in League One, but he still did have a very good season. He was the starting England keeper in the under-21 Euros, didn't concede a goal, saved that penalty. And I must admit, when I was watching that in the summer, watching him save that penalty in the final, I was thinking, oh, we've done well here, we've got this lad in. It's obviously not taken long for that facade to crack a little bit in the Premier League. And I think it's too soon for him to be in there. And I think even the company's most staunch defenders would admit that he's got it wrong with Trafford in terms of thrusting into the limelight this year and sticking with him when he's not ready to play at this level. He'll be a good player in a few years, I think, and maybe going down to the Championship won't be the worst thing for him. Maybe that'd be a level where he's a bit more comfortable. He can grow into games. He's not under as much pressure, but I think, yeah, it's difficult at this stage because you sort of think, you know, he should have been out a few months ago, really, and I think I would have given Juric a go. There's no guarantee he would have been better, but I think that would have given us a better chance overall. But at the same time now, a lot of people are at the stage where it's like, well, we're going to get relegated anyway, so why not stick with company? And if you're in that mindset, then I think you'd say the same for Trafford. You know, if we're going to get relegated, why not give him the last 10 games or whatever, and then, you know, it's all good experience for next year and the years to come. So you know, I'm not company's biggest fan, but I can see where he's coming from with that. But I do think if he'd have said that 3 months earlier, and there would have been a lot more backlash than there is now. So Yeah, I'm kind of torn on Trafford. With Trezor, I'm a bit less ambiguous because, as you said, there's been a few people sort of trying to, I don't know, rehabilitate his reputation. Is that the best way of putting it, would you say?
Yeah.
I just think, you know, there's we've got a lot of players in those positions and a lot of them have had varying minutes. You know, they've dipped in and out. They've had the odd game here and there and then they've been dropped for a while. But I don't think any of them have really shown as little as he has. You know, you got the impression in the summer it was kind of Willy Wonky saga all the way. There was the thing about him being on the plane and the plane turning around halfway through and all that kind of thing before deadline day. And you get the impression that he wasn't really ever fully convinced about coming here and playing. And that kind of is what the feeling that you get when you watch him as well. He's not really featured. I think I'm right in saying he's not, since the Luton game, he's not come off the bench even. And it was obviously the wrong decision to bring him on in the Luton game. He wasn't the kind of player that you need in that situation. But if the talk is right that perhaps the clause that says we have to buy him hasn't come into effect yet, I think it might be best for all parties that he does depart at the end of the season, because if we're paying £15 million for him at the end of the season, we're going to struggle to recoup that, I think, based on his performances in the Premier League. And based on what we've seen so far, I'm not really convinced that he'd be an asset in the Championship either.
No, completely agree with you there. It's just it probably doesn't help that his demeanour on the pitch doesn't look like he's giving his all for the club, and he has had limited opportunities, but you've not even really seen flashes, and for that price tag, it's big money for Burnley to be spending. And like you said, we don't know what the clause is, but I think quite early on it said it had been triggered that we'd then had to buy him, but I suppose time will tell. But I wouldn't be too surprised if he wasn't lining up for us in the Championship next season. On to the game then. I think there's only one place to start. David Datro for Fana's goal. Absolute screamer. What were your thoughts on the goal when you saw it, and just in him in general so far? Because he's been a bit of a brighter spark in the last month, or at least he's provided moments.
Yeah, I'll hold my hand up and say I wasn't watching the game. I was at the women's game actually at West Brom, so I did see it on a delay on Twitter. But yeah, absolutely fantastic finish. It kind of summed him up in a lot of ways, because sometimes he looks very, I think uncoordinated is the word. Sometimes he kind of looks like he's not really fully in control of his arms and legs. He looks kind of clumsy sometimes. And I think his first touch didn't go where it wanted to go. It came back to him, but then you saw the good side of him. I mean, it's such a brilliant shot. And when you saw it on the replay from his behind the goal, you know, in line, it was just such a perfect hit. You know, it's unstoppable. It was, the technique was brilliant. And, you know, we've really lacked that kind of quality this season. I think, I don't know if there's a possibility of keeping him in the Championship. When you look at the loans he's had this season, probably Chelsea aren't going to want to loan him out a level below, but I do think he would be an asset in the Championship. He's very raw, a bit like Foster really actually last year. You know, at times he looked all arms and legs and he looked very, he looked kind of like it was a level that he wasn't used to, but you did see flashes from him, and obviously we've seen how much he's kicked on this year. So I think there's definitely a good player in there. The goal was fantastic, as you say. And yeah, it's kind of a shame really he's coming when he has, because it's too late to really affect anything for this season. And I don't think we'll probably see the best of him in the future either.
No, I can't see Chelsea wanting him to come to the Championship after the second half of this season. But yeah, it's a funny one. It doesn't seem very comfortable with his back to goal at all. Like hold up play, like I said, touches can be really, really off. But that, I suppose, that could come with sharpness, as we saw with Foster at the start of this season, were completely different to the back end of last season. But facing goal and bearing down on goal, I think, and in front of goal, he's shown some real quality. So yeah, hopefully he can have a positive end to the season. We can get some results. So we scored a fortunate goal just before half time. Good counter attack. Cullen played the ball in, goes in off the defender. We've not had many moments like that this season. We've had quite a few deflections and long range goals going against us. So maybe about time we got a bit of luck. But when we got to half time, I think the substitution surprised quite a few people, and then obviously to concede a goal within 30 seconds of the restart, we're just a sucker punch. You just knowing that you're up against it then for the second half. There's a saying in there: just get through the first 10 minutes of that second half without conceding a goal. Keep it quiet, and yeah, to concede such a soft goal as well. Estev could have done so much better as well. What are your thoughts on that period of the game?
Yeah, again, like, I'll caveat it. I don't want to come out and criticise the subs or anything, because, like I said, I wasn't watching the game, so it's not for me to say was that the right sub or not. I will say, in general, this season, quite often we've come out in the second half and been worse than we were in the first half, and I think the manager's changes have had a lot to do with that. On the goal itself, yeah, I've watched it back a few times, and I'm struggling to see what Estev is doing there. Like, I don't know why he's going to ground in the first place. I don't know how he's so far away from the ball. I think there's a mistake with the first header as well. O'Shea, he gets beaten a bit too easily in the air for me. I know there's been a lot of rehabilitation of O'Shea from the sort of first part of the season, but I'm still not convinced with him. I think he's gone from, to me anyway, he's gone from well below par to just below par. And in this team, if you're below par, as opposed to well below par, you look like a good player, relatively speaking, but I'm still not convinced with him. I think all of our centre-halves are much for muchness, really. I don't think any of them are quite ready for this level. I don't think any of them are quite good enough, and I think that's the same for Stev. He dives in, obviously he gets beaten, all ends up. And yeah, it's a minute into the second half. It's just such an easy goal for West Ham. It's such a poor goal to concede. Like you say, we just don't seem to have, whether it's the manager, whether it's the players, we don't seem to have this mentality where we can just sit tight and keep teams out for 10 minutes. And it's ended up costing us yet again.
Yeah, I think there's both games against West Ham, really, if we'd have had that discipline over a bit of towards the end of the first game, when they'd not really threatened for 80 minutes, they only needed that good 10 minutes to be able to beat us. And then same again, just shot ourselves in the foot right at the start of the second half. We could have been 5 points better off just against West Ham this season. And then obviously they were going to put us under pressure after that. I think overall seemed to deal with it quite well, but got away with one wing. There's a disallowed goal for the Antonio offside, but then we did obviously concede the inevitable goal to Danny Ings, even when he's not been on the best of form in the last few years. He's always managed to find a goal against us. And he's managed to grow his hair back as well. That were a surprise. So, good goal. Should Trafford have done better? I don't want to. We've talked about Trafford a lot today and this season, but should he have done better with that? I've called it his weekly cock up. Is that harsh?
For me, the fault's not with Trafford there, it's with the defence. I think if you're the goalie there, you're not reasonably expecting that he's going to get shot away on the turn in that manner when there's sort of four or five players between the ball and the goalie there. I think the amount of players, especially Burge, but the amount of players that are around him there, he should not be allowed to turn and get a snapshot off there, I think. And I think if you're a keeper, it's difficult to get down low and get a strong enough hand to keep that out. So for me, when I watch that back, that's it's the defending rather than the keeper there that I blame. And like you say, Trafford's had a lot of criticism, but that's the kind of save where, if you've got a Nick Pope in goal, maybe he's good enough to save that. I don't think Trafford's good enough to make those saves, but that's not a major criticism of him. It's other areas of his game that I think are really lacking. But for me there, I'm not portioning the blame to Trafford. I think that shot shouldn't be coming through to him in that manner. And when it's a snapshot that quick, I can understand why it goes through. And just before we move on the offside, how lucky have we been there? I've seen a few people on the forums and that talking about VARs against us, and we've had no luck this season. It's very arbitrary what is an offside and what isn't these days. And people say, well, it's fine for offside because it's objective, it's not subjective. But, they've drawn the line from his armpit. Is that a guideline? I don't know if it is or it isn't. It seems to change week to week. But to me, that's never offside. And I think we're very lucky to get away with that. And it's really frustrating that we finally get a bit of good luck. We finally get the VAR God smiling on us, and we can't even take advantage in that situation when it's 3 minutes to go and we're 2-1 up. So, yeah, I think a bit of perspective probably on the refereeing. We all love to moan when it's wrong, and we all love to moan when we feel like we've been hard done to. But I think we have to hold our hands up there and say, with that one, and I think maybe we're going to come on to another late decision in that penalty area. And I think we've got away with one there as well. So I think probably in the interest of fairness, it's important to point that out.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. I think if you don't want goals, if it were disallowed on the pitch, fair enough, you don't overturn it. But there's got to be some sort of common sense there. You don't want goals being disallowed for those sort of margins when, like you said, the technology isn't good enough to know one way or another if it is right or wrong. So yeah, you mentioned there the other controversial moment. Bit of a frantic finish with Ings hitting the woodwork, Burge with the handball, or what looked like a double handball from one angle, but I think it was just one handball. And then Brownhill's chance right at the end. What are your thoughts on that refereeing decision and yeah, just the ending to the game as it went?
Yeah, again, I think if that's the other way around, if we have that ball in the box and the West Ham defender's arms are up like that and it comes off his arm, we're all screaming blue red for a penalty.
Yeah.
And if it's not given, we're saying there's a corrupt case against Burnley and it's fixed for us to go down. He's unlucky because I think he just gets his head to it first. But why are his arms up here? There's no reason for them to be. He's not jostling with anybody. He has obviously impacted the movement of the ball with his arm. To me, that's a penalty. And I think we're very fortunate to get away with that. And I think if that had been in the 60th minute as opposed to the 98th or whatever, then they're just giving a penalty for that. I think they're just similar to the Doku challenge on McAllister in the last minute at Man City v Liverpool. If that happens half an hour early, they're giving that. But they're not brave enough to essentially decide the game in the last minute by giving a penalty there. So again, that's one we got away with, I think. And you mentioned the Brownhill chance. I've seen a few people saying that we should be scoring there. I think there's more to it than that. I think it's the right decision to lay off from Birch. And I think when you're Brownhill there, I think it's not really his game to be planting him in the top corner. I think he's probably one of our top scorers this season. Is he with 3 or 4 or something? So I don't feel right to dig him out for the amount of goals he scored this season. It's not really, excuse me, it's not really his strength, I don't think. And I think the keeper's there still. There's 3 defenders in front of him. I don't think it's a shocking miss of some of kind of
politics. No, is it the target? I mean, yeah, there's plenty of bodies in the way, and he's just really the keeper that saved it, weren't it? But yeah, it's just one that you just want to like somehow squeeze through the bodies and get you the 3 points right at the end after all the drama. But hey ho, it could have gone either way at the end. Any final thoughts on the point? Probably, like I said at the start, one that would have taken, well, at this stage, it might not matter that much. One you'd have probably taken beforehand, but really looking back, wondering how you haven't got the 3.
Yeah, it's frustrating, but I think the best way to look at it is it's a point that you would have taken at the start. Like you say, I think this season's gone now. We've left it way too late to make any kind of chance to stay up. What we need going into next season is just a team that competes at the very least. You know, we had the Arsenal and Palace games where we didn't look interested going through the motions. Bournemouth, I think they've probably had a bit too much praise for the performance in that game. I know we had a lot of shots and stuff, but Bournemouth are a terrible team, and to lose 2-0 in that one was really poor in my opinion. But West Ham are a good side. You can say we got them at a good time in between 2 European games, but for me, that's a much better performance. We looked like we had something about us in that first half. We haven't held on, yes, but if you'd have said to me we're going to get a draw away at West Ham today, however it arrived, I'd have said that's a positive step in the right direction. And, you know, all the noises are that company's going to be the manager to the end of the season and into next season. And if we have that kind of performance level for the last few games, going into next season, I'll be more optimistic than I would have been after the Palace game, for sure.
And keeps us ahead of the game in our battle for 19th.
Yeah, there's that as well, yeah.
Don't make it a podcast!
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, great stuff, right. We'll move on from there. And before we move on to our thoughts and some stats for the Brentford game, here's this week's opposition view from Billy Grant, Besotted Podcast.
Hi, Burnley fans. This is Billy from Besotted, the Brentford podcast and blog. We've been going for God knows how long. Paper form, online form, podcast form, video form, all sorts of forms. We've been doing it for years now, following the Bees through thick and thin from Division 4 all the way up to the Premier League. And this is our third season in the Premier League now. And if you ask me if we're enjoying it this season, probably not as much as we have been doing the last two seasons. So how's the season going for Brentford? I'm actually saying it's going quite well. And you probably think, what's he talking about? He's been drinking. And the reason why is that we've had so many injuries this season. It's been so ridiculous. I can't believe that we haven't dipped ourselves into the bottom three. And again, listen, I know all teams get injuries, all teams get players out. You've got to deal with it. So I'm not saying this is an excuse, but I'm just, you've asked me the facts. And the fact is that, you know, if you get one or two players out, you could sort of handle it. If you get three players out, you can handle it. But the fact is that our whole defence is out, from Rico Henry, who is one of our key players. He defines the way that we play. He's so fast. He's just, you know, he is an incredible player. When we lost him, it was just terrible. You know, Aaron Hickey on the right back as well. He's a stand-in for Rico Henry when he goes out, and he's out for long term as well for the rest of the season as well. Even Pinnock's been out. We've had Collins has been out. We've had Ayers been out. We've had Ben Lee's out. He broke his ankle, I think, the other day. You know, and then we lost David Raya, who's our mainstay goalkeeper as well behind that. So we've been really struggling. Obviously, Brian Mbeumo's out. Ivan Toney's been out. That's been talked about quite a lot this season as well. He was out for 8 months as well. You know, Kevin Sharder, who came in to replace Ivan Toney, he's out for the foreseeable future. You know, Keane Lewis Potter was out. Damsgaard's been out. I mean, it's we even signed a player from, where did he sign him from? I think we signed him from Greece or Turkey or something like that. An absolute genius, super 18-year-old genius, apparently, was. He signed him, and I think he walked to the airport and he probably fell over a cup or something like that, and he got injured, and he's out long-term as well. So we've got injuries, incredibly, but the thing that I'm really proud about is Brentford are actually kind of dealing with it, and even though we make some really basic errors as well, we kind of seem to be getting through games here and there. So, you know, like I said to you, our season hasn't been the best, but, you know, we've had a couple of good results. We beat Fulham early on in the season. We beat Chelsea as well at their place for the third time in a row. And we just kind of eke results here and there. Recently, we had a really terrible run of games where people said, you're not going to get anything out of it. We had Man City, we had West Ham, we had Chelsea, and we had Arsenal, and we had Liverpool as well. And we didn't get anything out of them. We actually got 1 point out of them from Chelsea. But we came close at the away at Manchester City and also at Arsenal as well. And again, the way that the players played, the way that they stuck in, Thomas Frank's got them playing in a particular way where we play as a team. We play, you know, I almost say like, you know, like lower leagues, like, you know, in the Championship, in Division One, where you used to play teams in the FA Cup and you used to turn up against them and you had to just kind of roll your sleeves up and just get involved because you knew quality wise you weren't going to be the same. And, you know, our second string players, our B team players who come in up and are coming in aren't the same quality as the players, obviously, that are out at the moment now, but they really are doing their best. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, defensively, we're a little bit shambolic at times. And I think on Saturday, this is where Burnley can have a little bit of joy because we do score goals. We've been scoring goals all the time. Even when Ivan Toney was out and Mbeumo was in scoring goals, Wiese scoring goals, you know, we're scoring goals all over the pitch. But defensively, we're struggling. And I'll put my hand up and I'll say that. But there'll be some games where we will not let in a goal. And I think we just need to have a couple of those games for us to be safe. So you're asking me, do I think we're going to be pulled into the relegation battle? Personally, I think not. But I don't speak for all Brentford fans. Brentford fans are very nervous because obviously the position we're in, the fact that we are leaking in lots of goals, and they keep on seeing results when Luton gets a couple of wins here and there, you know, and other teams get wins here and there, and they think it's going to be problems for us. But the thing that I say, and I think you know this as well, Burnley, it's really hard when you're at the bottom of the league, because any win that you get or any point that you get is really, 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 really precious. So I'd say that any team who's down the bottom, who goes on a run and manages to get out of the bottom, they completely and utterly deserve to get out of that position, because it's something that it very rarely gets done and it's a very hard thing to do. And we know the teams that are down there, which is yourself, Sheffield United, there's Everton, there's Nottingham Forest, there's Crystal Palace as well, and we're down there as well, excuse me. And out of all those teams, you know, somebody's going to have to pull up a run to get to pull out of it. So you know, for us, I mean, I'm not even talking about points deductions, because I prefer to think of your position without the points deductions, because obviously the points deductions make a different, put a different slant on things. But let's just think about things without the point deductions, and where would you be? And I'd like to think that we could pick up another couple of wins between now and the end of the season to try and get us out of trouble. But saying that, you know, Burnley themselves, I mean, you did really well last season. I was actually quite surprised to see what a predicament you are in this season. I haven't really analysed it as such. I don't know whether or not it's a case of probably trying to go toe-to-toe with the style of football that you played last season and trying to do it in the Premier League, but not necessarily maybe upping the players that you can play that style of football. I'm not sure, but, you know, excuse me, you were very good last season, and it will be a shame to see you, you know, if you do, I'm not sorry, because I know you're a bit of a predicament at the moment, to see you go down, because they need teams like us in this division just to keep it kind of bit sane, really, because it's a bit samey as well with what's going on. But for Brentford going into this game against Burnley, it's going to be tough. The fans are going up there and they're very, very nervous. Again, because of our defensive record, they're very, very, very nervous. You know, put the ball over the top, and you know, it could put us in all sorts of trouble. Our goalkeepers, like Jekyll and Hyde, he was terrible for the first sort of kind of, I don't know, 4 months or something like that. Then he had a brilliant month, and then now he's kind of, you have to take him game by game. That's Flecken. And he's the new keeper that came in place of Raya. So we'll have to see. But personally, I'm really confident that we will get some results between now and the end of the season. I think we need to get a result from Burnley. A lot of people are saying we should get 3 points. For me, I'll be very happy with a point, because we just need to eke points out between now and the end of the season. So if we can go to Burnley and get a point, even not even letting a goal, have a nil or draw, I'll be very happy with that. But anyway, listen, after Saturday, enjoy the rest of the season. Go out and beat all those other teams so that you'll upset them all, because they get really upset when teams like Brentford and teams like Burnley upset them. Thanks a lot, and I'll catch up with you very, very soon.
Thanks, Billy. Good stuff. Now on to the Brentford game, and I've delved into Statman Dave's archives to look through the head-to-head between Burnley and Brentford at Turf Moor. And the Clarets have got a very good record in 13 previous meetings in the league. Burnley have won 7, drawn 4 and lost 2. And the last Brentford win were back when me and Tom were just wee nippers in 1996. Although there was a 15-year gap when we didn't play them in within that time. Have you got any memories from the two most recent wins, Tom? 3-1 in the Premier League, last Premier League season. And a 1-0 win early in the 2015-16 campaign.
I was at both the games. Remember, I think Michael Keane header in the 1-0 win. Yeah. I think that was maybe his first goal for Burnley. And then the 3-1, I think that was our only win for about the first 6 months of the season, wasn't it, that season? But we played really well in that game. We really blew them away. And in that one, you sort of thought, oh, there's a bright dawn coming. And yeah, it was a bit of a false dawn as it turned out. But it was a very good performance from the Maxwell Cornet. Especially was brilliant in that game.
Yeah, that was his first big performance at Turf Moor, when he'd scored a few away from home in draws, I think. But it was a really good day, that one. Only a few that season, really. The referee this weekend will be Darren Bond, and he's refereed Burnley on 6 previous occasions, most of those recent. Notably, company's first home game in charge against Luton, Teller's hat-trick at home to Preston, and the win that secured promotion at Borough last season. So good omen in a way, but there's some ones to forget as well. The battering at Sheffield United, I know you were there that day, Tom. Weren't a very happy bunny afterwards. And then a League Cup defeat on penalties at home to Leeds in September 2017. So that is the referee. And then on to our fans' favourite feature, the celebrity fans. I've got, I can see why Dave can struggle some weeks on this. I've tried to pull this together. And it's, not the easiest. And I've had to throw a couple in there that I'll get Tom's thoughts on because they're a bit rogue. Wouldn't be this feature really without someone going rogue. So we've got ex-EastEnder Dean Gaffney, ex-Sky Sports presenter Natalie Sawyer. There's a lot of exes in here, actually. Ex-FA chairman Greg Dyke, but he has been chairman of Brentford at some point, so I don't know whether the rules allow him to be in this or not. I'm quite confused with the rules at this point. Richard Archer, who's the lead singer of the band Hardfi, another one from my youth. I wouldn't be able to tell you his name, though. And then the two dodgy ones, I'd say. Cameron Diaz is a Brentford fan. I don't know how long she's had a season ticket, but apparently if you look online, she's really in love with the bees. And then Phil Collins, who was a Brentford fan growing up and is now a QPR fan. So I don't know whether that works either. But anyway, what do you think of that list, Tom? And how the hell do we go about scoring it?
Yeah, I think you've done well to stretch it to six out of those last two. I don't know where you got your Cameron Diaz information from. Not convinced of that one. Maybe Phil's gone back to Brentford since his lad Nathan signed there. I'm not sure.
Oh, let's hope we don't see a masterclass from him this weekend. Anyway.
Hardfi, I'll give you. I can remember even back in the day when Hardfi were big, them being big Brentford fans when they were still in League One. And Natalie Sawyer as well. I know she's a big Brentford fan. So I'd probably stretch to a six just because there's some authentic fans in there. It's not like one of these where it's like, oh, they've turned up to one game once. Like Tom Hanks, Aston Villa. It's like, oh, he's been to one game ever. I'm not having that one. But yeah, I think there's some actual celebrities who are actual Brentford fans in there. So I'll stretch to a six for them.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. So that can get added to the league table as a six. And if you disagree, Dave and Natalie, well, tough. We're in charge this week. Now, on to this week's game, the serious business. Would you make any changes to the lineup given the last two performances? And I've added the question there. I think we've already answered it. If we were to win this game, is there any hope whatsoever, given the Forest and Luton form, the Forest potential points deductions? Could it give us any sort of momentum to go and do what looks the impossible for the rest of the season? I think I know where you're going to go with this, but
I think you'll feel better in your day-to-day life if you accept that we're relegated and we were relegated a long time ago. You know, if we beat Brentford for our fourth win of the season, are we suddenly going to get another five between now and the end of May? If you're honest with yourself, we're not. I think you'll feel better about yourself in your day-to-day life if you sort of stop clinging on to these faint hopes. That's what I have to say about that. But that doesn't mean you can't go on Saturday and enjoy the win in isolation. You know, it's kind of like when I go to watch Burnley in a friendly, it doesn't really mean anything, but I still want Burnley to win because that's my team. So that's the way I'll be approaching this one. I think when you look at it on paper, you just think, you look at the name Brentford, it's kind of like Bournemouth actually a couple of weeks ago. You look at the name and you think, well, surely we can beat Brentford or Bournemouth because they're League One teams. Not to sound arrogant, because obviously both of them are miles better than we are. But you know what I mean? When you kind of turn it up to the stadium, they're not a team that instills fear in your heart or a feeling of we're not going to get anything here. I think they've had quite patchy form all season. It's probably the worst season they've had in the Premier League, I would say. But having said all that, they've got Ivan Toney back now, and I think they're the kind of club that I don't think they're going to go down this season. It's definitely three worse. I think they'll be looking at this fixture. They'll be looking at our home record. They'll be thinking, this is three easy points towards our survival bid. Given our home record and, you know, what's gone before, it's hard to see us putting up much of a fight if they decide they want to come here and get 3 points. So not to be overly negative, but I'm not particularly optimistic about this or any game that we play between now and the end of the season, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I think like you said before, if we can build any sort of momentum towards the end of this season, that's got to be the takeaway into next season, because the one thing we probably do lack going into next season, I've said a few times that we should have a better squad than what we had going down, but what we did have in that squad was characters and people who knew what to do in the champ, like what to do in the championship and how to perform week in, week out. So yeah, let's hope we can go put a positive and another positive performance on the back of a couple. I know you're down playing the ball at the moment, but it was certainly better than the Palace and Arsenal one where I didn't want to be a football fan anymore. I never mind a Burnley fan, but yeah, if we can build on that and hopefully get a win just to brighten everyone's day up a bit. On to the any other business part. So we've got a quick FPL update. So game week 28 is this weekend. So there's only four fixtures due to the FA Cup quarterfinals. If you've not prepared for it, then you're probably best to use your free hit chip. The games are Fulham v Spurs, Burnley v Brentford, Luton versus Forest and West Ham versus Villa. So there might be a few teams looking a bit decimated. If you have already used your free hit chip, then the best players to bring in seem to be Doughty from Luton, Poro, Madison and Son from Spurs, Bowen from West Ham. I'm going to say Tony from Brentford, but I hope not. And then Watkins, but I did actually just say I think he's gone off injured in the first half of their Europa game. So maybe have a look at the press conferences before you bring him in. Double game weeks are coming up in game week 34 and 37, and we'll be able to start planning for those after the FA Cup results this weekend. The next deadline is at 1:30 p.m. on Saturday, the 16th of March. And as always, wishing you all green arrows for blank game week 29. Any final thoughts, Tom? Any rays of positivity before we say bye?
Yeah, I would just say, just enjoy it, you know. Like I say, embrace the fact that these games don't really matter, because I think a lot of when you go to football is, and especially in the Premier League, every game feels like it means a lot. Every win feels like it's a lot, but every defeat feels like a real kick in the teeth. Remember going to the away game at Brentford, we were absolutely dreadful in that game, and it really did feel like a kick in the teeth. But I think for this one, just enjoy what it is. Enjoy the 90 minutes. If we get beat, it doesn't matter, we're going down anyway. And if we win, it's not happened much this season. Go out, have a few pints, enjoy it afterwards. So it's a winnable game. I think as much as Brentford have got some decent players, they're not unbeatable. They're not a team that we should crumble to. So let's embrace that. Get behind them from the first minute. Let's hope we can see a few goals. Let's hope we can have a rare weekend where we get a win. It'll be our first win of 2024. We're recording this on the 14th of March and we haven't won a game this year. So it'd be very nice to get that monkey off our back. Yeah, just try and take the positives and try and enjoy it. I know it's a tough season, but let's try and do that.
Great ways to finish. Right, thank you, Tom. And thanks again to our Opposition View from the Bezotted podcast. And most of all, thank you, the listener. Let's hope the boys give us something to cheer this weekend. Up the Clarets.
The No Nay Never podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Our host and editor is Natalie Bromley, and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The Analysis Show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Rich Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby, and Adam Dennett. Our music is provided by George Gaskell, and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting nonaynever.substack.com. Thanks as ever go to our partners TalkSport. We are proud to be associated with the TalkSport Fan Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.